Thank you, Sarah. Our final news stories include a £1 million view and improved employment for Norwich. But first, a motorcyclist going well over the limit.
A motorcyclist stripped of his licence for 16 weeks after being caught travelling at 103 miles per hour in a 40 mile an hour limit on the Norfolk-Suffolk border has apologised for his actions. A senior Rhodes policing officer described Carl de Wilton Holmes' speed as at Corton near Lowestoft as appalling. De Wilton Holmes of Honeyclose, Norwich, was disqualified from driving at his sentencing at West Suffolk Magistrates Court in Bury St Edmunds. He'd been working at Wyndham Police State Investigation Centre as a security officer at the time, but says he has since been dismissed. The 56-year-old had previously admitted exceeding the 40-mile-an-hour speed limit on the A1117.
He has been a key figure in Norfolk's education system at a time when it came under unprecedented scrutiny. Now, as he prepares to move back to Scotland to become head of the senior school at George Watson's College in Edinburgh, former CNS head Gordon Boyd has reflected on 4 years as the County Council's Assistant Director of Education. Soon after taking the role, Norfolk was in the crosshairs of both the Department for Education and Ofsted, but he said he did not think there was collusion between the two bodies. For Mr. Boyd, Ofsted's scrutiny was positive, with the new Chief Inspector's drive to shine the spotlight on mediocrity, putting the focus on the number of Norfolk schools judged satisfactory or requiring improvement. In March 2013, 33% of Norfolk schools were in this category, compared with a national average of only 20%. In the latest figures from the end of May, 14% of Norfolk schools are in that category, compared with 12% nationally. There are other signs of improvement too, including a steady narrowing of the gap in headline GCSE results between Norfolk and the England average. But Norfolk's test results for children at the end of primary school were, last summer, among the worst in England. Looking back at how Norfolk's education system has developed over the last 4 years, he said, "The quality of leadership is undoubtedly high and confident. That is the thing Norfolk was missing."
Norfolk's biggest hospital has become the first in Europe to enrol a patient to the latest stage of an international research trial. A new treatment is currently being tested across the world to combat Meniere's disease, a rare disorder affecting the inner ear, which can often cause crippling vertigo, tinnitus and hearing loss. The treatment, known as OTO-104, aims to reduce and even eliminate the physical symptoms, which means those treated could lead completely normal lives. In the third phase of the trial, patients will be given injections of either OTO-104 gel or a placebo to test efficacy. With the first European patient, who has asked not to be named, enrolled at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. John Phillips, consultant surgeon with the hospital's ear, nose and throat team, said this is European first is a proud achievement and clear indicator of the efficiency with which we are able to carry out NHS research here at the NNN and in the Eastern region. However, without patients and public who get involved, we couldn't carry out this research to find better treatment, so we are extremely grateful to all who participate.
Towering over the city centre, it offers views as far as the Scroby Sands wind farm off the coast of Great Yarmouth, as well as the privilege of seeing Norwich laid out at your feet. And now the penthouse at Westlergate Tower could be yours for a cool £1.35 million. The apartment, which is the highest residence in Norwich, is on the market after its owners decided that it was time to sell up. The apartment was first bought 2 years ago for around £1 million, having made headlines for its impact on the city's skyline. Its agents insist the apartment is a unique purchase akin to a one-off painting. But its exclusivity is reflected in a sky-high price tag.
Norwich City legend Ian Roberts told of his hope that a new all-weather football pitch could help develop England's stars for the future. He was speaking as he officially opened the floodlit third-generation artificial grass pitch at the Open Academy in Heartsies. The centre, known as FDC at Open Academy, will be open to the Norwich community as well as the school, and was funded in part by grants from the Premier League and Football Association Facilities Fund. It's a big thing, and they've spent lots of time and money on developing this, said Mr. Roberts. When you look at England's performance in the last two tournaments, it's been disappointing, and I think that's because not so many youngsters have been playing. The standard of pitches they play on isn't what it used to be. When you've got a 3G pitch like this, it doesn't matter what the weather is. It's magnificent. It's a lot of money, but we could do with more of them. A lot of boys and girls want to play football. They just need somewhere to go. This facility will give them a chance to do that. Unless we get more funding into grassroots football, we're never going to catch up with the rest of the world.
Unemployment has fallen by 26% in Norwich since this time last year, statistics show. Our region has the lowest unemployment rate across the country, just 3.5%, and the city has seen a gradual drop following the national trend. Norwich has seen a steady reduction in unemployment over the past year, and this trend has continued with 1,315 unemployed in June, a fall of 81. Stephen Lancaster, senior operations leader in East Anglia for the Department for Work and Pensions, said the region was slightly ahead of the national picture. He said, "We have seen big recruitment among small and medium employers. While 26% looks like a large number, it has come in little increments of 5 or 6% each month, so it has not been as dramatic as it might look." Nationally, employment has hit a record high at 74.4%, with unemployment dropping below 5% for the first time since 2005. North Norwich MP Chloe Smith, who runs the Norwich for Jobs project, said, "Both locally and nationally, these figures are very encouraging. Nationally, the government is building and delivering a Britain that works for everyone, not just the privileged few. A sentiment that the Norwich for Jobs project holds at its core. The project wants to ensure that every young person aged 18 to 24 in Norwich who wants support to become job ready can receive the tailor-made help and support which they need."
The possibility of strikes by ambulance staff in the region looks to have receded after agreement was reached to consult on pilot measures over meal breaks and overrunning shifts. Trade union Unison told the East of England Ambulance Service Trust in May that it would ballot its members over strike action, with staff angry over the lack of rest breaks and late finishes to shifts. The union said crews were working 13 to 18 hour shifts with lunch breaks of just half an hour instead of the 12 hour shifts with 45 minute breaks they were entitled to. But following negotiations between the Trust and Unison, it has been agreed to consult on a number of measures which have been agreed to be piloted to better support frontline staff in relation to late finishes and meal breaks. As part of one pilot, crews would be booked out of the service for certain but not the most critical calls if the time it would take to travel back to base afterwards would result in a late finish of more than half an hour. There would also be another pilot whereby frontline staff would be asked to respond to certain calls during their meal breaks.
That's all for this edition of Chatterbox. When you've finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn the address label over. And there's no postage to pay at all. Don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you've listened to everything that interests you. Don't forget that at the end of this recording, you'll have the August issue of Let's Talk.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the team that produced it. The editor was Sarah Lusher, and the sound recordist was Brian Kerridge. We always like to hear from you, so please do call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. Or visit our website on cbtn.org.uk. From everyone at Chatterbox, goodbye.